service today, this thing was way over there. And I'm thinking, what are they trying to do to me? I'm running a marathon for Team World Vision, and now they're trying to do working some CrossFit on me around here. I don't know. If you're visiting today, my name's Britt. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're starting a brand new series called All is Bright, which is about the light that Christ brings to our world, and of course, he brought it to his day and time, and that comes forward to us today. But before we go there, I think what I heard is that we confused the daylights out of everybody last week talking about our special Christmas offering. So in our efforts to be clear, we made it more complicated. So, which is kind of like typical for me, but so I want to talk a little bit about our special Christmas offering. If you're visiting with us today, just tune us out, tune me out right now, because you know this has nothing to do with you. This is for people that call Sunridge home. Every Christmas season we do a special Christmas offering, and every year we designate it in different ways. And so this year, what we decided to do is to invest these additional resources and outreach in some of the ministries that we partnered with over the years, and then also to invest in our campus, which is part of a many-year process here that we're calling Renovate, and we're tackling projects as we go. So you have basically two streams to give in, outreach or campus, and they're designated by two different objects, okay? So votive light represents outreach. And that tree over there that has those votive lights lit on it, it represents or symbolic of what we're doing. So if you invest in a outreach ministry, you're gonna obtain a votive light out in the hallway. And if you're investing in our campus renovation, which we are trying to raise $75,000 to redo our hallway, you would get a gift box. Now, these are important, but the most important part is a tag. And the tags both represent the thing that you're donating to and also the amount. So if you were going to give to our outreach ministries, is you guys still with me? Punch your neighbor. Okay. If you're going to give to one of the three outreach ministries that we've mentioned earlier, so I'm not going to go over that, you get a votive light and a tag for the ministry and amount that you want to give to. And then you take that votive light with your family or alone, and you place it on a tree and light it. And then take this gift tag to remind you to give over and above your regular offering this month, and then also to pray for that ministry. If you're giving to renovate, to redo our hallway, then you grab a gift box, and the size of the box doesn't matter, okay? You know, we do have one big one out there for $75,000 if anybody wants to buy that. We're totally down with that. We can call it a good Christmas and move on. And so you get a gift box and a tag. And this tag represents the amount that you're giving toward Renovate. I encourage you, we're gonna update our website soon, but to go into our multi-purpose room or youth room and see what we've done in there. It's been a team effort by volunteers and contractors and our staff overseeing things. It is super cool in there. And it's way better than it used to be. It's much more functional, and it's very versatile. We can do a lot of things in there. We want to get the same look in our hallway. So that's the how. The how is, I kind of merged over into the why, but the how is light or box, tag every time. Again, take this tag and pray and use it as a reminder, and then put the gift boxes under the tree or light your candle. Now, that tree is just symbolic of what we're doing, you know. And of course, the image here is, by the time our Christmas season is done, we want our tree lit up, and we want our tree surrounded by boxes representing our gifts. So that's the how. If you're still confused, I think you should find another church or something. I don't know. Or another pastor maybe, huh? So let me tell you the why. The why we're doing this, you know, there's history here at Sunridge. We always do this. And we give over and above what we normally do in December because God has blessed us. And this year we wanted to connect in a more tangible way to some of the outreach ministries that we partner with. And so those are represented with light. And yet, and I think that's pretty easy for most folks to connect with. But our building and our campus, I think sometimes that doesn't feel as spiritual. And if you're that person, just listen to me for a couple of minutes here. And then I do have a sermon. This is not it. This is extra credit. So, you know, buildings are spiritual too. Because this campus says something about us as a people. When people come onto our campus, they're either feeling welcome by us and what our campus looks like, or they're not. And so we want our campus to reflect who we are as people of God. And so we've talked about how renovating our campus helps us say to people that are new here, we were expecting you to come. We've invested in this place. And so I know that $75,000 sounds like a lot, but that's going to totally redo our hallway with the same look that we have in our youth room. It's going to be super cool, and it's going to say something when people come onto this campus. You know, we partner with ministries that shine the light outside of Sunridge, and many of you are part of those, but this campus is a light too. Besides church, there are things going on all the time on this campus that shine the light in this community and in different ways. Let me give you just a couple that happened this week. First of all, I want to put a picture up here. We hosted this year for the first time family photos for exceptional families. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know how difficult it is to get a family photo when you have special needs children. There are all kinds of dynamics that are involved in that. And we have one of our members, Jackie Hunter, is involved. She kind of launched this thing, and it's just grown legs in the community. And we had families coming through our campus all day yesterday to take pictures. Can we put that picture back up? And I want to tell you, like, they did such cool work. And I can tell you, like, the families that come, they're just so thrilled that this is happening. But the people that were involved in this, all of Jackie's volunteers and her partner, they said that they felt more welcome here than in any place they'd ever been. And so part of that is us and the way we've supported them, but part of it is what our building is. And so we just want to take good care of that. I'm so thrilled that we got to be a part of that. And then also yesterday at the same time that was going on, we hosted a memorial service for a very long time and dear brother Ben Cherry. Is usually, you know, he helps lead worship here as a volunteer. And his mom passed away in the last couple of weeks, and we were able to hold a memorial here because the church that she was a part of, it was totally booked over the weekend. And so our campus and their, you know, said to them, it was a great place for them to hold that service. And many of you participated in that by supporting it because you're a loved one or a friend of Cherry family. We provided food, we had a great reception, and so these are the ways that our campus shines the light. This Friday night, we're holding Christmas dessert here. And I hope that if you have not signed up for that, do a table, ladies. We still have room for other tables. Guys, you need to jump in and help. This is one of the best events we do all year, and it's because we have this campus here. It's a really elegant event. It's a powerful event in which the gospel is shared. And guys, you know, we still need volunteers for that. And so I encourage you to stop by. It's a chance for us to serve the women of our church. It's a chance to have an impact on what's going on in this community in regards to sharing the gospel. and it's a chance for us to hang out. And we have a lot of fun. The guys together, we got like a couple of kegs. They're gonna be in the room. Okay, so we don't really. And I know I've either offended some or like some of you are like, hey, I'm signing up for this event. It's not gonna be a kegger, it'll just be root beer or something like that. But it is a place to bond and to serve, you know, lock arms together and serve side by side with one another. So, and that is because we have this tremendous asset called Sunridge Community Church, 42299 Winchester Road. So that's the why. I hope that you'll pray about supporting one or both of these ministries as God leads you. So that's my infomercial. So you guys still okay? So we do have a sermon today. As I told you, it's called, this summer, our Christmas series is called All is Bright. And it's all about how the light of Christ shines and makes our world brighter. It's interesting, like I'm going to throw out some very familiar scriptures to you today in the Christmas story, and looked at from this perspective, you're going to see how much light is a part of the story of the birth of Jesus. For instance, this passage that I know you're familiar with from Luke's gospel. In Luke 2, he said, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. When the angel comes to announce Jesus' birth to the shepherds, there is a glorious shining light that accompanies his proclamation. This dear saint, Jewish saint Simeon, in the same chapter of Luke's gospel, you know, who has looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, and when he encounters him and he holds the infant Jesus, he declares that this baby is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel. And Jesus said of himself that he is the true light that gives light to everyone. The birth of Jesus brought light to our world. And that's important because it was really needed then. The prophet Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would be born in Isaiah 9 to a world of gloom, anguish, and contempt. And he was right. These people of God, the Jewish people, they were in a period of 400 years of silence. God seemed absent from them. They'd heard all these stories about the movement of God and how he takes care of his people, but yet they find themselves scattered among nations in captivity and without the voice of God and his great works accompanying. It's like God was a hero of the past for them. They were living in a post-Hebraic world. Their political situation, the people of God are ostracized from their time and their culture. They are oppressed. Even the census that was being taken, that's so much a part of the story of Jesus' birth, how Joseph and Mary traveled because they needed to be counted in the census. This was just one more reminder to the Jewish people about how unfree they were. And then when Jesus is born, it escalates. It doesn't get better. The world gets to be a darker place. They become persecuted. Herod is threatened by the birth of this new king, and so he seeks to murder Jesus and commits genocide of any young male Jewish child. And you would think during a time like that, when they're so under attack, that the people of God would have pulled together, but they didn't. They were divided internally. They had different groups that they separated into. You've heard of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. They, even in the middle of a trial when they should pull together, in a time when they were under attack, they fight among themselves. Does that sound familiar? It does to me. And so Jesus comes into this situation where the world is a dark place, and yet he declares that he brings light. And you know, not everybody got it either. John tells us that many people did not understand this light. In contrast, no matter how dark the world was, Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. It's like Jesus is acknowledging that it's a dark world for the people of God and the people that need light. And he says, that's why I've come. I've come to bring light, which I think some people have interpreted, well, if I'm a Christian, everything will be beautiful and perfect. And yet we know that that's not true. It's not true theologically. It's not true experientially. What does that mean then? That Jesus brought light to the darkness. What did it mean then? And what could we learn from that that would come forward to us today? And I have three things I want to highlight about what light does, what the light of Christ did to the world then and what it brings to us today. So the first one is that light brings life. You know, the first creation efforts in the Genesis account, the world is described as a formless, empty, dark place. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and life began. In a dark and formless world, light brings life. Without that light, you know, none of us would be sitting here, right? The world, the globe would be this frozen ice ball with no life. But light changed that. Light and life go together. That's true in the physical world. You know that sunlight is the energy that allows life to exist. And, you know, I don't need to go into detail about how we have this perfect placement in our solar system to that light that allows life to exist. Remember elementary school science, photosynthesis? Hello. Yeah. Plants and bacteria and algae, they take carbon dioxide and water and sunlight, and voila, you have carbohydrates, which is food, and oxygen. Food that allows life to exist and oxygen that allows life to exist. So this inanimate object of light is 93 million miles away, and these lifeless particles called photons make their way here, and somehow that makes life. Light creates life. It allows it to exist. That's true physically. It's also true spiritually. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:5 that we are made alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. So the picture here is that without the light of Christ, there's something dead in us. It doesn't mean that I can't have a successful life. It doesn't mean that I can't be a good business person or a good father or a good husband or a good wife or whatever. But it means that there's something missing in me that comes alive when Christ's light shines within me. Our soul is without life, and yet when the light of Christ shines on us, something comes alive. You know this. If you can remember when you became a Christian at first, many of you would describe that experience as like something changed inside you. Maybe you couldn't put your finger on it. Maybe you didn't have the theological terms for it. But you know that something changed. What changed is something came alive in you through the light of Christ. John said of Jesus that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. When Christ comes to live in us, life explodes in us that wasn't there before. This is called the gospel, the good news. One way to explain it is that without Christ, my soul is not alive. My body's alive, but my soul is not. And yet, the Holy Spirit nudges us. He quickens us, King James word. He makes something come alive that makes us open to the gospel, and we recognize that we're broken without Christ. And if we reach out to him in faith, his light shines in us. Have you done that? Maybe you haven't. You know, it's as simple as just praying right there in your seat and just saying, God, I know that that's true. I'm broken. I'm sinful, and I need the redemptive work of Christ in me. For some of you, probably most of you sitting here today, you've already done your business with God. But maybe this is a reminder of the light that's shining inside you. The second thing that light does is it brings guidance. It brings life. It brings guidance. You know, the Magi, they found their way to Jesus by the light of a star. And they followed that star, that light that emanated from that star, and they found their place. They found the place where Jesus was. In the Old Testament, we find God leading the children of Israel in the wilderness with a light. In the day, a cloud, and night by a light. Sometimes I think we can feel in this life like we're making our way in the dark. And we need the light of Christ to lead us. I love this verse from John's gospel in John 11:9. He says, a man who walks by day, this is Jesus saying this, will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. And the context here is really important because Jesus has just said to his disciples, we need to go back to Judea. And his disciples remind him that when we were there, they were trying to kill us. They tried to stone us, if you recall, Jesus. So going back there is not a good idea. And yet, even our Lord is led by this light. There's a light that says, in a very practical way, I'm here, but I feel like I should be there, even though it's dangerous, and that is the light that leads us there. So then, the guidance that the light gives us isn't just religious light. It isn't just about my religious life and finding my way. It's very practical, my non-religious life. Some of you are finding yourselves kind of at a crossroads. You know, there are big decisions. Some of you are standing there and you have this huge decision in front of you. Do I retire? Or do I keep working? Or do I promote in my organization? Do I change jobs? Do I move somewhere else? We have all these major decisions. It's the light of Christ that can lead you in that time. But then there are like the millions of day-to-day decisions that we make that the light of Christ leads us. If you're a mom, you're constantly needing the light of Christ to lead you. If you're a dad, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you're an employee, if you're a boss, if you're a subordinate, if you're a student, do I go to college? Do I find a vocation? There's all these day-to-day decisions that we make, and yet the light of Christ can lead us in that time because light brings guidance. Now, some people would say, like, how does that happen? The most practical way I could explain it is from the Apostle Paul's words in his letter to the Colossians. Colossians 3:15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Very simple statement, and literally what it means is let Christ's peace make the decision. The picture here is kind of like a referee calling, making the call. a coach saying, we're going to do this. And then we follow through. You know, when you stand at that crossroads, there, you know, there's great turmoil in some of these decisions leading up to it. And we seek counsel from our friends, from our loved ones. We seek counsel from the Bible. We pray. And I can tell you that, like, when God is making that decision, when the peace of Christ, when his light is making the call in that intersection, on the other side is peace. And so the question to ask when I'm at that crossroads and letting Christ's light lead me is, what will give me peace with God in this decision? I think that's been helpful for me. I hope it is for you. So the light gives us life. It gives us guidance. And lastly, light brings a new perspective. You know, sunlight has a huge effect on human beings. You know, physiologically, you know that, like, human bodies make about 90% of our vitamin D in interacting with sunlight, which is a big problem because people worldwide are spending less and less time in the sun for obvious reasons. And so now, worldwide, there are about 1 billion people that have a vitamin D deficiency. So the sunlight affects our physiology, but it also affects our psychological well-being. You've heard of SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. It's the winter blues. If you're around cloudy weather all the time without sunlight, what happens to you? You just kind of, like, you want to eat and sit in the basement, and you get depressed. I looked online this morning for the most depressing places to live in America. Hopefully you don't have family in these areas. So the first, and this is based on, like, the least amount of sunshine. So Anchorage, Alaska is the first. Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Spokane, Washington, all up there. Then Missoula, Montana, Grand Rapids, Michigan, which I know because my wife grew up 30 minutes from there. And when I visit her family, I think I've shared with the church before, we went, like, last October. They kind of all blur together now. But in 7 days, we had 4 hours of sunshine. So that's not good. I know what would happen to me. I'd be that guy in the basement drinking himself and eating himself to death. Buffalo, New York, Syracuse, New York, Cleveland, Ohio. At least they got an NBA championship, and then Rochester, New York. So these are, if you're at a crossroads and you're considering moving, just letting you know, these are not sunny places. Sunlight affects our well-being. By the way, you may not know this, it's a little known fact, but you're gonna know it when I'm done. In France, in 2013, they did a study. So if you're a single guy, listen up. And in this study, what they figured out is that your pickup lines, guys, are twice as effective on sunny days. Leave it to the French to do a study like that. I'm just saying, if you're in the market, pick a sunny day to use some of those lines you have, like, do you believe in love at first sight, or would you like me to walk by one more time? Hey, do you work out? No, me neither. The light affects us. And so I think those of us who have the light of Christ in us, it changes our perspective. It changes the way we think. Sometimes those things are immediate in their impact, but many times they're, like, long-term. Like, they build soul health by our constant exposure to the light of Christ. And if you're a Christian, you don't have to live in a drab world. The reason why I mention that is because whatever season of life, whatever your status is at this time of year, It's accentuated by Christmas. So if you're like at a peak, you're like living high, you're going to have like the most awesome Christmas ever. But if you're in a low point, this is a real struggle time for you. Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I know that when I read that, I think about people that I know. And you're in a dark time. If you're in a marriage and you don't know if your marriage is going to make it to the first of the year, can I remind you, you have the light of life. If you're not married and you're hoping to be married and you think you're just going to be single forever and you're going to spend one more Christmas by yourself, can I remind you, you have the light of life. If you have kids that are wayward, some of you are going to go through Christmas this year and you have no idea where your grown children are. Can I remind you, you have the light of life. Some of you, you don't have kids and you desperately want to have children. And you're wondering, are you going to be childless the rest of your life? Can I remind you that you have the light of life? Some of you, you went to the doctor recently and he said words that crushed you. And this might be your last Christmas. Can I remind you that you have the light of life? Some of you aren't where you want to be, or this Christmas you're going to like be pinching your pennies. And you're wondering how you're going to get anything under the tree. Can I remind you that you have the light of life within you? We have the light. And the light changes our perspective. It may not change the darkness around us. It may not change our situation. But we know that we have the light of light in us. I wonder what Christmas would be like for you, for me, and for us as a church if this season, we went through this Christmas season with a light sensitivity to the fact that we have the light of life in us, that we have the light available to guide us. And that regardless of what my situation is, there's a perspective that's different than a life without the light. What if we did that? I offer up three things that I think we could pray about as a church during this season, and maybe you would want to pray these individually. The first would be, thank you, Father, for sending the light to be with us. And I would ask along with that, I would find the assurance that I have the light. If you're not sure if you have the light, I'm available to talk anytime. You can email me, any of our staff, any of our prayer team that's up front at the end of our service. They can tell you how to turn the light on in your soul. I would also ask us to pray, Jesus, would you give us light? Fill my heart with light and give me direction and a new perspective on my situation. And then lastly, I would just say that we could pray more than ever, more than any other Christmas, for God to enable us to experience the light of Christ in our life and allow that to shine from us in our families, in our schools, and a place of work. God will give us an opportunity to just let the light out. You don't have to generate the light. You just have to like open up a little bit and let it out. Let's pray. God, that is our prayer. I mean, if we do, all of us need to be reminded or enlightened to the fact that you are the light of the world. And we ask on that basis that you would light our hearts and light our souls, and that we would go through this Christmas with that light sensitivity of what you're doing in us, what it's possible that you would do with us, and be willing to lean into the things that you want to do through us. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the light. Amen.